week anyway.
Well, it's calling actually for some cooler temperatures. We do have another chance of rain tonight.
Any chance of freeze at all?
Let's see. Monday, 68. Tuesday, 77 for a high. In the Tuesday night, chance of rain. Wednesday, chance of rain, 69. Wednesday night, chance of rain, 47. We're going to get down there. Then we're going to be into the 60s on Thursday and also on Friday.
Good. And a nice week of good temperatures and no rain.
There you go. 50%. What do you think? You can still hit your rain gauge.
Chance of rain, bah. Yeah. Anyway, so you might want to wait to winterize the irrigation system because your plants do need a fair amount of water going into the winter for them to survive. Typically, if it is dry like that, your plants really suffer.
Yeah.
So keep it going for a little bit. And watch the weather forecast, and you might want to go ahead and winterize it before it gets down, at least in the middle 20s, which probably won't happen until January.
Yeah.
Anyway, so keep it going. And you might want to alter the programming on it because it is cooler like this, and you get less evapotranspiration when it's cooler. Mm-hmm. So you can cut back on it. And most of the timers have a little setting on there called seasonal adjust.
Seasonal adjust.
Seasonal adjust. It doesn't regulate how much salt and pepper you put on your eggs.
Nope.
No.
It boy, if it could.
Seasonal adjust does is incrementally decrease the amount of time on a given program that it waters. So it's kind of a global reduction in the amount of water. So and you can adjust that upwards, too, if it's really dry. Up to 200% on some of them, but anyway, so you can set back your seasonal adjust at this point in time, maybe down a little bit. We've done some of that at the nursery, and it's a great way to reduce the amount of water you're applying.
Got
incrementally.
It.
You can also maybe eliminate some days too. It's a good idea to let the ground dry out just a little bit between waterings. It does help keep fungus under control.
The fungi at bay.
Yeah. So as it gets cooler like this, it's going to require less water. But you still want a little bit of a dry out period between.
Yeah.
So maybe instead of cutting back on the time that each channel goes, perhaps you might want to cut back on the days, really. So eliminate some days.
That sounds good.
So turn the little dial to days to water and go up and down, and maybe twice a week should be plenty of time, really, for irrigating your stuff.
Good.
And also consider putting the mower to sleep if you have Bermuda and zoysia grass. I'm not going to do that yet on mine because my Bermuda grass and of course, the late season crabgrass are up a little bit. So
yeah,
I need to,
same here.
So I need to keep her going a little while longer.
There you go.
So that's if you have Bermuda and zoysia grass. If you have fescue grass, you might want to take the wheels up a notch, too, in height. Mm-hmm. Because as it gets cooler, the fescue grass will grow a little bit slower, but it does grow rather actively this time. And the more surface area it is exposed to the sun, the better off it's going to do. And that's especially so in the summertime with fescue grass, to mow it rather high. Now, as time goes on and it gets cooler, it starts to grow a little bit slower. You can cut down the height a little bit and make it look a little bit more manicured.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, you want to keep it a little bit on the high side, perhaps, and irrigate rather, like I said earlier, rather infrequently, but still volumetrically the same amount of water. But you might want to go less frequently, so you can do the turn down the number of days and up the seasonal adjusts and all this other stuff together.
Oh, now you got to do math.
Oh no! But anyway, so you might want to water less frequently.
Yeah, yeah.
And also fertilization. It's not time to do Bermuda grass. Don't get slickered into a winterizer for Bermuda grass because the Bermuda grass will just winterize itself. However, for fescue grass, you want to do maybe a winterizing type fertilizer.
Yeah.
Typically, that's one that has a higher number of phosphorus than the middle number on your fertilizer, and that will help it get ready for the winter by not growing so extremely fast, but at a rate that will make the grass tolerant of the cold conditions as the cooler temperatures ensue over time. So not a whole lot of nitrogen on the fescue grass, but just maybe a middle number of phosphorus, a little bit, and not as much nitrogen.
Got it.
Okay. And then if the color still isn't what you really like, you might add some iron to it. or get a fertilizer that has some iron sulfate in it, and that'll help darken the color without a whole lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, also in the lawn, it's still time for those pre-emergent herbicides to keep out the henbit and the chickweed and
all junk, that stuff.
Junk like that yeah. comes up in the spring. So a lot to do right now, really.
Yeah, you'd think it would be kind of calm since we're putting the lawnmower to bed, but there's a lot of things you got to do to be prepared for.
We mentioned that last week, we had a checklist of different type of pre-emergents you can use. I prefer the prodiamine.
Yeah.
It works rather well. It's a broad spectrum. It lasts a long time.
Uh-huh.
So we have it in a fertilizer base at the nursery. It does help control weeds for a fairly long period of time.
Very good.
So anyway, time to think about that too. And if you missed the boat on the pre-emergent later on in February, you can use a post-emergent broadleaf control, Trimec. Works rather well for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some others. And that'll control those weeds, too, before mm-hmm. they come up. So if you miss the boat, no big deal.
Yeah.
There's a back door.
Always got a plan B.
That's right, exactly. So that's kind of it with the lawn. And you might want on your Bermuda grass, just give it a, don't cut it really, don't scalp it. Just cut it maybe just a little bit lower, just to mm-hmm. tailor it real nicely. And then run the edger real good, make it get a good appearance all winter long. So, anyway, at the nursery this week, trees, we got lots of trees. We had them, lots of color beginning to show. Some of the maples are starting to exhibit some colors on them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed mine at the house. I've got these two giant maples. Not giant.
Good size.
Nothing's giant because of the rock.
Yeah.
They're kind of dwarf maples.
Dwarf maples.
Yeah, they're only about 30 feet tall. So,
right.
Anyway, they're starting to tinge a little bit here and there. And I noticed my pistachio tree is beginning to twinge a little bit, too. The color is starting mm-hmm. to change on it, too. So it's about time for that to happen.
Sure.
So look at your trees and see if you're getting some color. And it should be. I think it's going to be a good fall. We're having some real nice, steady weather right now at this point. It's not cold enough, really, to create a lot of color, but it's cool enough
mm-hmm.
where I think we'll get some good color.
Well,
but anyway,
good.
You guys need to get on the ball and
yeah. I'll send up the word.
Yeah, send the word to try to make it a little bit cooler. So anyway, so keep in mind the rules in planting trees.
Yeah,
identify drainage patterns in the yard. And don't plant a tree in the middle of a drainage pattern.
No,
because not only will it probably root rot, but it'll if it does take the roots will swell up and back the water up. And then you'll have to open the back and the front garage door to let the water through. So you want to make sure.
Don't want that.
That's one thing. And another thing, 15 feet away from structures.
Uh-huh.
And 10 feet at the closest to concrete or the driveway or something. That will prevent root damage from your cement, too.
All right. Very good.
Now, there are some species that have a fairly deep root system, such as the Chinese pistache.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this a while back. We planted one really, really close to somebody's driveway because it faces west. And then wanted something durable that won't tear up the cement. So we planted a Chinese pistache just basically an arm's length away from the sidewalk. And it's doing rather well.
I'll be darned.
And they still have a driveway, so.
Life is good.
And the paint is not peeling on the car.
Hey. So best of both worlds.
From boiling in the heat. So it worked, so. Well, I'm not saying you can plant all your pistache that close to the mm-hmm. side of the driveway. Just a customer request.
We're going to take a small break. We're going to be right back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. We have a lot of tree trimmers. They'll come in on Friday evening. You can get a towable boom, pull it behind the half-ton pickup, go home, trim your trees, paint your house, clean your gutters. You can pick this up on Friday. You got 3 days. Get your project done without being in any type of a hurry. Bring it back on Monday morning, 1-day charge. It's a great deal at United Reynolds. 918-333-9580. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75. 3801 No Water Road, United Reynolds.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for fall. Just in time for fall planting, you'll find new shipments of pansies, mums, and flowering kale. And they also have fall arrivals of trees and shrubs. And right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smits. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened for colorectal cancer. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Oop-ba-ba, oop-ba-ba. Oktoberfest right here on the Green Country Gardener program. Of course, your phone calls are always welcome in German or English, I guess, at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, what you got for us, man?
I don't know. Hablo Alemania. Anyway. yeah, really. In the lawns right now, it's getting to the end of the replanting or establishing cool season fescue lawns. What we mentioned, the mowing height should be about 2.5 inches at this point, and then you can lower it a little bit as time goes on. So we're at the kind of the end of seeding season, too.
Okay.
Also, rather. No. Not too, but also. So you want to get, if you do want to plant some fescue seed, now's the time, now's the last time to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
The ground temperature is still warm. I know that firsthand. When it's cool outside, you dig a big old hole for a tree and huddle in it to warm up a little. But anyway.
He knows all the tricks.
Yeah, really. But anyway, it's still time to do that. The ground temperature is still maintaining a good warmth out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why it's a good time to plant trees and things, because those roots can really go to town in that warm soil.
Mm.
So you want to get those in the ground, too. But fescue lawns can be fertilized right now. And what I mentioned earlier, you want to leave the Bermuda grass and zoysia alone.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need any winterizer or anything. No 10-20-10 on them right now. It's too late for that. So, but the fescue lawns, it's time to address them specifically.
Good.
So, we talked about grass seed and all that. So mm-hmm. The tree of the week, of course, is the October Glory Red Maple. And it gets from 40 to 60 feet tall and 30 to 40 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little smaller than that if you have a lot of rock. But anyway, the leaves are smaller and they have fewer seeds on them, some of these hybrid maples.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer seeds on them. And they are somewhat shallow-rooted, where was I? Oh, but they have sturdy growth and adaptability. These plants are very adaptable. Kind of like willow trees. Willow trees are an extremely adaptable plant, but as are the red maples.
Mm-hmm.
And further south, it grows a little faster, making it somewhat weak wooded. But it tolerate a wide variety of soil types.
Mm.
And we have that rather difference in soil types in this town.
We do.
In some places, everything's just the same. But if you've seen these geologic maps of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Jiminy Christmas.
Yeah.
Somebody has stirred this state up with a stick some point. There's so many different soil types. And even in this town alone,
there
are. Yeah. Like at my house, it's just hard limestone.
Mm-hmm.
But you go two blocks away, it's the deepest, best soil in town.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go two blocks to the east, it's underlain by loosely associated sandstone, and has a whole different chemistry than what I have over here.
So, wow. You need to really get your soil checked before you do anything around here.
Yeah. If you really want to do something extreme, say like planting azaleas or acidic-type plants, you might want to have the soil tested just to see what's going on with that. Or if you dig a hole in the ground and you hit this rather solid limestone rock, then your soil pH more than likely is a little bit on the high side.
Little.
But if you're peeling up a shale or a sandstone, then your soil pH will probably be a little bit on the low side, too. So we just need to take that into account. And people come to me and they say, well, what kind of tree can I plant? And I said, where do you live? And I said, you probably have acid soil over there, so you can plant oaks and not anything, dogwoods and stuff will do very well. But if they say, I live in this address, well, I say, well, you've got a lot of gray clay probably and some. He said, yeah.
How'd you know that? Well, I've been doing it for a few years.
But anyway, so we kind of know, or at least I know, where what just about pretty accurately come up with your soil type in your house. So then we can pick out a certain tree. And there are several trees that have different tolerances. Mm-hmm. And the maple trees are unique in that they can tolerate different varieties of soil types and still do rather well. Mm-hmm. So.
Very good.
Some of the oaks are a little picky, though.
They are?
So that's kind of why our tree of the week is the October Glory or Red Sunset or some of the new ones. There's the hybrid maples that are a cross between a red maple and a silver maple. Mm-hmm. Those are the Freeman Eye, which describes a certain genre of red maple, which is the blend between those two. Mm-hmm. And they tolerate those conditions, and they have the advantage of a rather aggressive root system, which will feed the top ground nicely, and a fairly aggressive top growth. But the branching structure on the Freeman Eye maples is suitable for rapid growth. In other words, they grow fairly quickly, but they have very few of the acute angularity of their branching, so they tend to be stronger over time.
Very good.
So it's not necessarily the wood; it's how it's associated to the main trunk. Is what defines whether or not a tree is going to peel apart in an ice storm or not.
Oh, very nice. Good to know.
So you look at the trees in the lot, and really the branches that are on there now are not the ones that are going to be there, you know, in 10 years. Mm-hmm. If they were still on there, you'd knock yourself out every time you mow the grass.
Donk.
So a lot of the smaller trees, say the 5-gallon size tree or something like that, The branches that are there just are not going to be there. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to cut them off in 14 years or so from now.
Man. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We're going to be back after this 2-minute timeout on the Green Country Gardener.
Stop by Peters True Value in Dewey today and pick up your bargain of the month, like Frost King 3-pack indoor window insulation kit for $4.99. You can never have enough light bulbs on hand. Stock up with GE 4-pack 5-watt or 6-watt 19 LED bulbs for $9.99 per 4-pack. And keep your shop or garage clean with a 5-gallon 3.5 horsepower Shop Vac brand wet dry vac for $39.97, but only at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Basketball court all wet because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Having repairs done in your apartment should never come with strings attached, like being harassed and constantly pressured for sexual favors.
My leaky faucet turned into the maintenance man asking, when are we going to get to know each other better?
I needed my air conditioner fixed, but my building manager repeatedly kept coming into my apartment on an